Hello and welcome to episode 558 of the League Rundown. This is your 2025 LEC Spring Split Week 4 review and LTA Split 2 Week 3 review. That does not get easier any freaking week. It's a very long intro. This episode is lovingly entitled, though, Assume the Position. I am your host, Kangas, and I'm joined by two esteemed co-hosts tonight. Up first, we have Mr. Mazel PL.
Hello. I'm just going to say I didn't like the way that you emphasized the certain part of that word. I'm just going to say it's fine. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to talk about League of Legends. It's going to be great.
Was it the word assume? Or
yeah,
the word?
The lead-in. Okay.
Yeah, assume the position. I just had to do it twice for you there. We also have joining us back on the pod, hopefully for quite a while. Thank you for joining us yet again, Yanni.
Hell yeah. Just to let you know, I don't know if we'll be here next week or not. I'll let you know.
Nice. All right, well, maybe every other week we'll get Yanni joining us. But either way, happy to have you for this week.
Happy to be here.
Well, let's hop right into it, everybody, because me and Mazel, we got some Star Wars plans later, so I'm going to keep us on topic and on focus for this evening's
League
episode.
Rundown, any percent.
Any percent speed run, exactly. So, you know, we got to kick things off with the LPL update. Who better to let us know what's going on than Mr. Mazel PL himself? What are the cool narratives, big storylines happening in the LPL right now?
Guys, LNG won a series. They won a series. It's
Let's
a
go!
Miracle. It
Let's
happened.
Go!
It was a 2-0. And now Group Nirvana gets wild, which is actually just absolutely hilarious because RNG, of all teams, is now at the 0-2 position with OMG. And if you don't know what that means, then the last two placed teams in Group Nirvana, which is the second group in the LPL, will be done for the rest of the year. Once they finish all their games. So don't want to be those bottom two. And the fact that RNG is down there feels really bad. There was also a bunch of drama that just released today about them. But we're not going to talk about it.
Okay, good. Perfect. Okay. So I had comments.
Yeah, cool. There's a lot. There's a lot. Anyways, JDG seems like in an absolute downfall. So does BLG somehow. Things are just not going good for those two teams. Anyone's legend top esports still look amazing. They're both sitting at 6-1. There's a lot of games left to go. We're still in week number 4. We just kicked off week number 4 a couple days ago. And there are 8 total weeks. So we're about halfway there for a majority of our teams.
Okay. So what are the odds LNG makes it to MSI? What would they have to do? Give me the narrative for LNG to freaking do it.
0%.
0%. Okay.
Cool. I would put a negative percentage on it if I could.
Negative.
There is no fucking
There's
way.
There's absolutely no fucking hope for these guys.
But I mean, there is a path they could go, right?
Yes, there is.
Technically, yes.
They're just not expected to do it.
They are so far off the path that they are not even in the same stratosphere,
dude.
Okay, well,
this is like
the
if
level
you grab
of gameplay
the cavemen,
in Group Nirvana has been some of the League of Legends of all time that I've ever seen.
Okay,
and I boil it down
to, like,
to just
NA
the fact
League
that
of Legends, like, what would it be? Would it be like if Immortals and Disguised and Dignitas
no,
weren't a group together?
This would
together?
Be no, like I, this I would be like would if be... AMI won, like,
I don't know if it's
like an LCS split.
I think you would get good games between Disguised, Dignitas, and Shopify versus LGD. You know, LGD, the likes,
crazy.
OMG,
okay.
Ultra
wow.
Prime. Like, I think it would be, like, good games. Like, there would be
okay.
good games.
Really?
Because they, yeah, I absolutely do.
Whether we could win or not, you still think that there would be a competition going on?
I think it would be a competition. I would actually favor the NA teams, but
oh,
I still think it would be a competition.
I think you're crazy.
Okay, all right. Well, either way, that's exciting to see. We'll keep our eyes peeled on which teams end their year early. Again, crazy format over in the LPL. We don't have an LCK update or an LTA South update for this week because we don't have Bickle or RMC joining us. So it'll just be the LPL update for this time. But we also have one other bit of global news to cover, and that is, surprisingly, this is an official statement from Mr. John Riot, signed and delivered to all inboxes for anybody with a Riot account, that Europe hates alcoholics. It's confirmed by Mortdog. I think it was Mortdog. Oh, no. He's on TFT. Who's the league guy? The Gragas ability name, Fiasco. The The Drunken Rage Gate, as we're calling it on socials and in news outlets around the world. I'm not going to lie. I actually don't know much about this story. I'm just trying to build it up for the hype. Do we know
this was Meddler, by the way. This was Meddler, by the way.
Meddler. So, there we go. Meddler. Yeah.
So they were able to go lighter on the adjustments while still being compliant in the EU. They do need to update the ability description to remove drunkenly empowered and adjust Guzzles Down Brew. They also need to tweak his client bio. However, Drunken Rage will be sticking around.
Hell yeah. As a play-by-play caster, all three of us are actually play-by-play casters. I hate it when they change ability names, especially from iconic ones. And I'm like, no, now I have to learn something different, like change how the brain...
I still don't know which one is Twitch's ultimate.
Iconic ability, though, I'm not going to lie.
Hey, I love shouting it. I mean, I don't think I've ever shouted in my life, but I theoretically love shouting it.
Ability, but I get what you mean.
Yeah. It is one of the less impactful, or at least like visually, right? It's explosive cask. It's, you know, body slam, stuff like that. But Drunken Rage is still one of them, and happy to have the name sticking around. It is funny, though, that Europe has a lot of those rules, and they're having to tweak some of the description. But you can always trust us to be your investigative journalist and keep our ears close to the story. That's it that we have for global news for right now, though. If we missed anything, as always, let us know in the community Discord. You can find a link in the description wherever you are listening along. And also, speaking of the community, shout out to members of the community for Fantasy. We have our updated standings after week 3 of LTA. And it is, I did not think this was going to happen. This is my first time ever. I'm leading the pack, baby.
Let's
it is
go.
Caster Logic Gaming in first place in the community. I have 311.79 points, but shout out to Pacific and Light Team, who are both right on my heels within like 5 points striking distance. So it's close at the top right now. But currently, hey, I'll take it. We'll see if I can maintain, though, because I am historically bad at drafting good fantasy teams.
You got this, bro.
Thank you. The all league leader across all of LTA is still the same person from last week. I don't know. I'm butchering this name every time. Panchinha Liga das Lendas, something like that, with 395 points. 900 would be crazy. 395 points. So I'm like 84 off of that person. That gamer's crazy. But shout out to everybody who participates in fantasy as well as supports the podcast, whether through the Patreon or the shop. Links to those are also down in the description. But with that said, let's hop into the Leagues of Legends themselves, kicking things off here in LTA North. Starting off with the Super Week. Mazel, how many days of games did we have?
I count 3 of them, and one of them was a Monday for some reason.
That's super. The Monday decision, I actually have some insight into that. I don't think like it really would be a problem for me sharing this. Basically, it's a double reason. Number one is that LEC is on Mondays, so obviously we want to get the raids from the LEC channel as well. So that's like the number one. Number two is it's way easier to advertise. If we have a Super Week happening, it's easier to say on Saturday and Sunday, hey, stick around on Monday because we have games, than if we're trying to say, hey, next week on Friday we have games. Like, it's just, it's way easier to tell people during that weekend that there's going to be games on Monday. So, scheduling wise, it just kind of made more sense, I guess. And from the analytics side, whether it's a Monday or Friday games in past splits, it didn't affect viewership. It was basically the same just because it's a weekday. So, but it was a super week. We had the end of the positioning phase, hence the title of this week's episode. And we now have our teams in their best of one position order. Mazel, give us the rundown. First place through eighth place. What are things looking like?
All right. We got two setups here. It's going to be very close because it technically is Cloud9 in first. Mm-hmm. Just because I think they had the tiebreaker.
They own that.
But second place
yeah.
is FlyQuest. Third place is 100 Thieves. Fourth place, of course, is Team Liquid.
Classic.
Because the horse, of course. Lion is fifth. And we have Shopify Rebellion at sixth, Dignitas at seventh, and Disguised at eighth.
And, okay, you know what? I'm going to look down here. Let's look at my power. End of stage. Oh, this is end of stage one predictions. Oh, we didn't really do stage two predictions, did we? In my head, this was close to my power rankings. I had 100 Thieves in first. I was not correct about that. They did drop a couple of games. It's still 5-2, not too bad, all things considered. They're the only team to take a game off C9. But then Lion, I think, was a big storyline that stepped up. Weren't able to maintain that momentum against the top four teams. That was a big story we were keeping track of on the broadcast side, was the line of top four versus bottom four. Only a single team managed to cross that line of the bottom four teams beating the top four team. And let me tell you, it is not the one any of us expected it to be. Yanni, which team was actually able to take out a game off of one of the top four teams?
Dude, it was absolutely ridiculous to say that the boys over at Disguised, Scarold Gerald, got the job done and took a game off Team Liquid, my favorite team. Embarrassing.
A little embarrassing. That was cinema. To end the split, the literally nothing on the line. Both of these teams were locked into their groups no matter what happened here, and of course that's the one that Disguised is able to win. Crazy. We'll talk about a lot of that as we get into it, but to update everybody, we are now moving on to the group stage. So the LTA North and South is the same format for both sides of the conference. It was 3 weeks of single round robin best of one, and then we position the teams and then seed into two different groups. So the groups are
assume the position
in group A. It is Cloud9, Team Liquid, Lion, and Disguised, who made things very interesting. This would have been probably a pretty dud group, like, oh, you just assume that we already know who's making it out and Disguised is not, but they just beat TL, so who knows what could happen in that group. Now that one I think has a lot of variance. And then group B has FlyQuest, 100 Thieves, Shopify Rebellion, and Dignitas. This one, I also think there's three teams I think could easily be the one, or maybe not easily, but three teams in the conversation that could get knocked out here. Because a reminder, the top three from each group will go into playoffs, and the bottom team will have their season end after these next 4 weeks here. So that's going to be next week's conversation, or at least the end of this as we get into predictions. But let's talk about what happened at the end of the positioning phase here. Yanni, kick us off. Start off with Cloud9 in first place. How did their weekend look?
You know what? Cloud9 had the best weekend out of any team. Cloud9 went 3-0 this weekend with wins over Team Liquid, a win over Lion, and a win over FlyQuest. That was on Sunday. Going 3-0, supercharging yourself into 6-1, getting that first place spot, beating three quality teams. I'm willing to call Lion a quality team because they had a really solid game against Team Liquid when they played. Like, they are the bar, so it's like, okay, you know, they're fine. You can count them as a fine team. So these are three very quality wins.
And it was, I would argue, the hardest strength of schedule remaining outside of probably Lion themselves, because Lion had to play C9 and then FlyQuest and, why did I have
100 Thieves.
100 Thieves, there we go. Okay, for some reason, I was just reading their schedule wrong. But that's a tough schedule for Lion as well. But it was basically those two that had the hardest ones. C9 passed with flying colors and are on a 6-game win streak. They lost 100 Thieves, and they have not lost a game since. That is, of course, best of ones. So now when we transition to best of threes, we'll see if that changes. But it was a hell of a weekend, man. I think, I think Blabber won Player of the Week on C9, but Vulcan had maybe the best performance I've seen out of him since the EG days. Like, Mizell, I don't know if you have, like, strong thoughts on C9, but I really do think that they are definitively the best team that we have in NA right now.
I think they're looking pretty good. I think Sven and Vulcan had a really, really good weekend.
Yep.
And I think that's going to make that feel a lot better for sure, because I think that's one of the question marks on the team. It's like, how good can they be in the 2v2? But I think their 2v2 looked really good this weekend. Mm-hmm. I still would put them in, like, a contentious top two, but I definitely think they're one of the better performing teams right now.
Mm-hmm. I think that they are showing us that they are adaptable in-game. The question is going to be, how adaptable are they in draft? Because out of the top teams, I think, I don't know exactly what the numbers are, but we are looking at it on the broadcast side. We'll dive more into it next weekend on broadcast, but like just number of champs played, number of different compositions. C9 out of the top teams has played one of the smaller champion pools overall. We'll see if that's a weakness going into best ofs with Fearless Drafting, because that's the big thing with Fearless Drafting, right? Like the larger your champ pool, the more styles of compositions you can play, the better you're going to look and the better your success will be. But if C9 can do that, then they're looking solid. The other team nipping at their heels, tied with them in game score, but they just lost to them this past weekend, is FlyQuest. Now, FlyQuest was very bold. I don't know if anybody caught this narrative, but Masu, actually, early on in the split, said, on Busio's life, we're going undefeated. And I guess they had to kill Busio, because on stage on Monday, they had somebody named Tucio taking his seat. He looks very similar. He plays similar as well. I think they're lucky in that regard, but it's going to be tough without their original support guys.
R.I.P. King.
I don't think they needed to kill Busio. I think Cloud9 did enough of the killing of Busio that game.
Oh, okay. That's the big marquee matchup that we can talk about, right? Out of all of the games in LTA, either last weekend or even, let's be honest, all freaking split, C9 versus FlyQuest was incredible. Very entertaining game. And Busio did kind of feel like one of the weak links for FlyQuest overall. Like, FlyQuest didn't have a lot of kills throughout, but they were at least competitive. But then Busio going for a really ambitious engage onto Sven, who's on Ezreal. Busio's on the Nautilus. That was kind of what sealed the deal. In the mid lane, if you remember it, like, he goes for the hook, Sven's able to buffer it, then Busio's in a rough spot. Yes, they trade onto Thanatos, who plays it kind of silly. but then, like, Loki and Vulcan are able to turn it back around and kind of pop off, so... I think the FlyQuest are still looking like a top competitor, one of the teams that can challenge C9 for sure, but that game in particular, we saw potentially some of the weaknesses where when Bwipo is facing a top laner that he cannot just body with a counter pick, FlyQuest do not have the same type of fire that they did against everybody else. I legitimately think that's like their best move is red side counter pick for Bwipo. Thanatos is just better. He's just, like, I think the best top laner in the league right now, and it's really hard to put this guy behind.
I'll just say he also has a really great personality.
Thanatos?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the guy.
Yeah, very, some very of his fun guy.
And stuff. It's really funny.
Feels so bad that it was, I believe, actually, I think, okay, and now I'm about to misquote. I don't remember if it was Thanatos or if it was Loki. I think it was Loki that tweeted out that we had like a stat thing for him on broadcast that showed photos of Thanatos on it. It was like, oh no. So that's something that we're going to have to fucking clean up on broadcast when we're building our assets, because that's not good. But bless Thanatos for still being a fun personality regardless. Next up, 100 Thieves. Sitting 5-2. Mazel, are they frauds?
Well, at least they get a little bit of momentum taking out the weaker teams going into the next stage, you know? That's always good. I mean, they went 3-0 this weekend. It was against Dig, Lion, which is a little bit better. And then in the end, it was Shopify Rebellion. Mm-hmm. I still think this team has a lot of growing to do, but I'm glad we got this kind of version of them to finish out the placements, because I think they will be a better team in best ofs.
I actually have a lot of faith for them there, too. I'm happy you agree with that, because a lot of people I'm hearing are like, once we get to best of threes, they're going to look worse. That's the exact same thing that we've said about 100 Thieves for like a year now. I actually think they have been leveling up their champ pool quite a lot. The concern was how behind they were against Dignitas. That's what a lot of people were pointing to, of like, FBI Ayla got kind of bodied.
A dub's a dub, baby.
Yeah, dub's a dub. But FBI and Ayla did get bodied by Tomo Isles in the laning phase. Quid had a really rough laning phase. And then insane comeback in the mid game, like literally game saving fights back to back. But the fact that it had to be comeback wins in those team fights when they were down like a couple thousand gold meant that there's more questions around 100 Thieves and how their early game goes. But it seems like the reverse curse. Around the 20-minute mark, whenever they're ahead, they throw. But now, they were behind at 20 minutes. So they got Dig to throw. Either way, 20 minutes is a very fun time when you're watching 100 Thieves games. It's a blast. Up in fourth place, Yanni, we got Team Liquid. What are your thoughts on how their weekend went?
Bro, this team frustrates me to no end, man.
Yeah.
I can't stand it. They just... I don't even care about the disguise loss, right? Like, I really don't, because...
You don't?
You know, No. You know, they weren't really playing for anything in that one.
Sure.
But it's... This is no longer a top team, and it's really tough to come to grips with that. And, you know, it's like, I don't know. I don't know what needs to change. I think it just needs to be umpty, right? I mean, I feel bad to say it.
I legitimately think umpty has stepped up more this split. He's still not playing clean. He's still making a lot of mistakes. But I think the eyes are now more on Impact, dude. Like, Impact's play has been rough to watch.
Impact! What are you doing?
Impact! What are you doing walking into a brush with a control ward in it?
I don't understand.
When your team is not ready to approach the Baron and you're just getting picked off, and like, what are you doing losing that hard in lane to freaking Castle? Team Liquid were like slower on the rotations than Disguised, which is just not what we expected. This is the team that we think of as like, oh, they play the map. Even if they're not able to team fight better than other teams, they play the map better than other teams. That was not the case this weekend. Shopify Rebellion's the only win they got. And they were kind of rattled by C9, rattled by Disguised. Yeah. So I think Impact really needs to clean up his play because he had been the rock for them in the lane swap meta. They have not figured out how they want to play in this post-lane swap meta. They're still trying to get
AK. They're just Thunder Talk.
I don't know what Thunder Talk does. Is it similar Mizzell play knows. Style?
Mizzell knows. They're just Thunder Talk gaming, aren't they, Mizzell?
This is my description of TL. Tell me if that's the same as Thunder Talk. Their mid laner has a slow early game, so then gets bored and just perma pushes side lanes and then gets caught three times every single game. Does that happen to Thunder Talk?
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Okay. Because that's unfortunately what APA is doing right now. And I got to say, I feel his frustration because he's like the only one at like an even gold state going into the mid game, and then he's like trying to play greedy to get more advantage for himself, and then he gets punished for it, so then he looks bad, but the rest of the team's already falling apart at that point. So yeah, Team Liquid, they'll have to clean things up as they're getting into that group stage, because again, with Cloud9, Lion, and Disguised, they just lost to Disguised. Lion's been nipping on the heels of the top four teams all split. There's a legitimate concern that if Team Liquid cannot turn things around, they might not make playoffs. I know that's a low chance.
No way, it's a low chance.
They should make playoffs, but there is a world. There is a world where they don't. That would be crazy. The defending champions, by the way. But that brings us to Lion. Oh, my God, man. I wanted to believe so much. I just said they've been nipping at the heels. Unfortunately, they have not landed any bites. They only beat the three teams below them in the standings. They had a couple of arguably competitive games against the top four teams, some that weren't as competitive. and as a team, it really does feel like they're still trying to figure out what compositions work for them. And I think that they are one of the teams that I'm actually most concerned for going into the best of three Fearless, because Saint and Henna are their best two players. But they've mostly been playing things like Varus and Ryze, and then sometimes Azir, but I'm not convinced by Saint's Azir. If Henna's not on Varus, the team seems like the team does not, you know, function nearly as well when he's not able to like find these random ults in the middle of a team fight onto the carry and then just blow people up to like set up the team. Because Lion's the support, while he has good engages, target selection in team fight engages can sometimes be not like optimized. So I don't know how much damage they can do there. They're in that group of Team Liquid and Disguised, so hopefully they're able to make it out. I feel like that one is kind of a shakeup, but everyone's going to get throttled by C9 in that group. I don't think anyone's taking games off of them.
I know maybe this is not the time to talk about this, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Cool.
I don't know, man. I just find it interesting that so many of the team's narratives are based off imports now. And I feel like we just came off of a season and a year where, like, yes, there were some import narratives, which was really cool, but we had a lot of homegrown narratives and stuff like that in LTA. And I feel like the primary carries for, like, all the major teams are majorly imports. And I find it really interesting. We've gone back to that setup as NA.
Yeah. Well, think about it. We had, what, 4 new Korean challenger mids?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess Kaney doesn't have his challenger mid.
And that's half the league.
That's half the league was imported Korean mids plus players. Well, I guess, like, Lion as a team is a little different because, like, Audi and Lions are not North American players, but still they're LOA players.
All imports. So, like, how dare they?
Right. And then, like, even Seos, too, like, Brazilian player, so, like, doesn't really take up the same import slot, but still technically not, like, an NA player.
That's quite interesting.
Yeah, for 8 teams remaining, there was a lot of imports coming in this split, and it does add a challenge to, like, building the narratives around the teams. But again, I mean, we can tell the stories at least of the players that are doing well as imports, because players Saint and Henna are popping off. I even think Kaney's, like, doing pretty well over at Dignitas in some of his games. So,
hell yeah,
yeah. Also, it's great when players like Saint actually have really good English, so we've been able to interview him a couple times and get to know him more, which is really cool. So, yeah, that's Lion. We've talked about some of the other teams, but let's briefly cover them here. Yanni, give me the Shopify Rebellion. Quick spark notes of how their weekend look and what expectations going into the group stage.
Yeah, the Shopify Rebellion week, not so hot, admittedly. Losing to 100 Thieves, losing to TL. Got the dub over Disguised. Expectations are, because Disguised is not in their group, you know, there's the only potential close game is going to be against Dignitas. I do not think Shopify Rebellion can take a game off 100 Thieves or FlyFQuest, or a match, for that matter. And okay. Expectations for Shopify Rebellion, you better hope that Fudge, Contracts, Palafox all start playing at their absolute peak levels. But unfortunately, that was a long, long time ago.
Yeah, I think that Contracts is the one that's really shining so far. Contracts and Seos have been, like, pretty much of the same brain this split. They go for the same plays. They try and make action happen. The weakness of Shopify Rebellion is that they will make bad plays happen. They will way over engage and, like, dive between turrets and, like, go for these super aggressive engages onto, like, Alistars that are warding up in the river before dragons. It's like, well, the whole team's behind him and you just use all your engage on the supports. Like, now you're just gonna lose the fight, stuff like that.
Never met a fight they didn't like.
They didn't hear no bell. All right, Shopify Rebellion, they keep going, and they have also. It's a funny stat here. So Lion is in 5th place. They've only beaten the 3 teams below them. Shopify were in 6th place. They only beat the 2 teams below them. Guess what? Dignitas is in 7th place. Only beat the 1 team below them.
Nice.
Very interesting how that works out here. And then Disguised, they had a surprise random upset versus Team Liquid. So,
Atlas,
like, that one's kind of crazy. But
Atlas
holding the head-to-head, so technically
holding the league up. This league actually runs through Disguised.
It actually does. Yeah. Yeah. Look at that. I think Dignitas and Disguised, very similar opinion on both of them. They are both scrappy teams that are cleaning up and, I think, improving very obviously over the split. Like, both of these teams, their last games that they showed us, their last 2 games that they showed us, maybe Disguised did kind of get destroyed by Dig, but even Dig's FlyQuest game.
Are you telling me they got digged down?
They got digged down. But both their last games, you compare those to their first games of the split, night and day. You know, I actually do think that they're showing distinct improvement in how they play the map. Both of them were chickens with their head cuts on. Chickens with their heads cut off. There we go. That's the plural word I was looking for. In the beginning of the split. And now at least you see intention in their map movement. Then it's just cleaning up, you know, not getting picked as much and executing in team fights. But at least in terms of playing the map, much, much better. So There we go. That's the opinions of the teams from last weekend's games. Games to watch for me, C9 versus Fly. I know Fly, by the end of the game, it feels pretty one-sided, but throughout the game, it was actually a pretty complex and intricate balance of, like, objective play and focus and, like, map setup and then, you know, handshakes for certain things. I actually thought just from, like, a macro standpoint, it was a very satisfying game to watch. And then by the end, C9 just kind of came online and just kind of blitzed through a couple of fights and won the game. Do either of you have games to watch, though? Favorite ones you expect or recommend everyone check out?
Dig Hunter Thieves.
Yeah, that one actually Dig Hunter was Thieves. Pretty good.
Banger.
Again, Hunter Thieves had to do a big comeback. Well, not like huge comeback, but it was a comeback, right? Like, Dig had them on the ropes.
Comeback.
If you want, you could put yourself through 30 minutes of Disguised versus Dignitas.
Why? No, I'm not. No, I disagree.
That's why I said if you want. Slapped them. No, it was bad. Kinda. Yeah. There was no kinda.
It was so weird seeing Disguise versus TL after just seeing Disguise versus Dig, because it's like, this is not the same team that we just saw yesterday, but I guess technically it was.
When team playing with house money.
Yeah, and even like in day one when freaking Abadaga used like Rise ults, they win a fight, they pick like two people, and then you just Rise ults into the rumble. It's like, what are you doing? All right. Anyway, yeah, Abadaga breaks my brain sometimes. All right, that's our games to watch. And you know what? We'll throw Disguise and TL on there just because it's funny to watch TL lose sometimes.
True.
But let's bring our attention to this coming week. We got four series. That's right. No more best of ones. It is now best of threes in the LTA North. And we got Saturday and Sunday games kicking things off. The first series of the group stage for Split 2 is FlyQuest versus 100 Thieves. We're all in agreement, FlyQuest 2-1. I think they should be favorites coming into this. Yes, they dropped their game to Cloud9, but they made quick work of 100 Thieves earlier in the split. And while I do think that, you know, Quid and River have the ability to get the advantage of Quad and Inspired at least one game, once things like Nefiri and Xin Zhao are off the table, I think Inspired's champ pool just gets so much wackier and River will have trouble keeping up. So, and it's a similar thing with Bwipo, right? Like, Bwipo's champ pool is just so hard for somebody like Sniper to consistently beat for two games in a best-of-three series. That's why I have it. Next up, we got Team Liquid versus Lion. And again, we're all in agreement, 2-1 for Team Liquid. Mizell, why do you have Team Liquid taking this one?
Bounce back, baby.
Hell
This team, yeah. This team ain't going to stay down for long.
Yeah, as bad as they look sometimes, they still have the fundamentals of a team that can beat Lion, right? Like, Lion didn't show me enough to, like, give them the win here. And again, yeah, I think that in best of threes, they could struggle. So, but that's Saturday. Sunday, we have two more series kicking things off. I think day one has two arguably close series. I do not think the same for day two.
Yeah, no.
We got C9 versus DSG, and we all have C9 2-0. Is there much to talk about here?
I guess the only thing to talk about is Cloud9 is going to win both of these games before, like, 29 minutes.
Jeez.
Okay, you know what? I actually agree. I fully agree. I think that they smash average game time.
Well,
like,
I think a better question, will Disguised force a game to go to 30 minutes?
I think they could do that.
It's progress then. Not bad.
But average game time will still be under 30. There we go.
Do you happen to have the average game time on you right now?
I do not, no.
Dude, what the hell? You...
I'm not Leo. Leo the stats guys. He was actually busy tonight. I did ask.
Bro,
if
you're supposed
to
know every single thing about the LCS or the LTA. I'm sorry.
Okay, first off, I do know everything about LCS, but we changed the name, so now I don't know anything about LTA. And we're not going to test that theory. Next up, though, we have Shopify versus Dignitas. This one is a little more interesting. Myself and Mizell actually believe in the boys in yellow. Dignitas this 1-2-1. Yanni has Shopify Rebellion. 2-1. Yanni, why do you think Shopify take it?
I think it's because you guys have too much opium because you guys have casted the NACL. And you believe Surdy and Shaden to be better than Fudge and Contracts.
Surdy has unfortunately been like the worst. I have been in the league.
Very, very, very sad about that.
Yeah. Castle's had a rough split too. Fudge has had a rough split too. Yeah. Licorice sometimes has a rough split. Yeah. And despite all that, Zerdy's stats are still the worst. Goddamn.
And it's tough because like he's coming with all this fanfare, and then it's like, well, you know, like solo queue isn't competitive, but he looked pretty good and competitive. And not only that, but like, dude's like one of the nicest people I've ever met. Like, he's just a really nice dude. So I really, really feel for him.
Yeah. He is, I think, champ pool wise, he played Sion. I think that's a huge shift in what he wants to do, but he's playing more to the team. And they did actually look pretty good with that Sion pick. So maybe they'll try different things and look better in that regard. That's partly why I have them taking it, because I actually think that improvement-wise, Shopify Rebellion look like they have basically stayed the same, if not gotten a little worse throughout the split, whereas Dignitas, I think, have been improving at a pretty steady rate. And the fact that Tomo Isles smashed the bot lane of FBI and Ayla makes me think that I actually see a world where Seos, because of how much he leaves B-Voy alone in lane and just links up with contracts, that B-Voy could actually be in some trouble here, because Isles does not roam nearly as much and will dive turrets and just, like, kill you. or at least set up Tomo to kill you. So I think that through the bot lane, Dignitas can actually take it. There we go! That's our thoughts on LTA North, our predictions for next week, as well as how we thought last week's games went. If you agree, if you disagree, if you have your own thoughts, throw them in the community Discord, link in the description wherever you are listening. But for now, it's time to hop across the pond. We had LEC games also happening this past weekend concurrently. They got super weeks every week, so it's less exciting to say that there were Monday games. But we now have only two series on Saturdays, so there we go. Actually, less games to cover, making our jobs easier. Kicking things off on Saturday, we had Fnatic Rogue, and I don't know why I started off with that. We're not going to go through the whole schedule. We're going to start from the top of the standings and then work our way down. Standings go KC in first still at 5-1, and Fnatic now in second place because G2 actually dropped a game, dropping to 3-1. Those are still the top three teams, each of them only dropping a single game, and then there's a bit of a gap before you get to BDS, Team Heretics, at 3-3 apiece. Movie Star Koi, SK Vitality, Rogue, and Giant X. Yanni, how'd KC's weekend look here as still technically the number one team in Europe?
Yeah, they did knock off Giant X, but Giant X didn't make it easy on them, right? I mean, in the first game, Giant X had a really, really good start, but at 26 minutes, rough dragon fight that did not go their way. Yike went crazy in that fight, staying alive in a 3v1 for enough time for the rest of the team to get there. And then again, like Giant X in game two, hung around a little bit, took a bad fight at Otacon after June got picked. And then it became a game of who could throw harder after that. And Carmine Corps actually threw game two and actually found themselves into game three. And then, after Noah went ham in game two, Kalis just turned it on in game three and absolutely ran over Giant X. But KC not looking infallible after that series.
And the one that they lost, I mean, that was like, 9,000 gold lead that they threw? That
should have been unthrowable.
Bad. Like, there's a very funny quote. We actually caught this, me and the other LTA casters, because we watch LEC before, like we'll do our morning meeting, then we'll have like a basically hour break before our broadcast goes live, so we'll just like throw on LEC. And that game was on, and I forget which caster it was, but Kalist, when he does the play bot side where he solo Kai'Sa ults in onto the Azir and then just gets Giga outplayed, loses his GA, and then dies immediately after, baits his entire team in to die as well. Don't remember the caster, but they say, you know, sometimes as Kai'Sa, you just end up in the middle of the enemy team. Contractually, we cannot flame Kalist. Nobody can say, what the fuck was that, Kalist? Instead, you have to say, sometimes you just end up in the enemy team.
I mean, that's true, Mazel. I know that you've at least played some Kai'Sa because you're an AD carry player.
Mazel, how often do you just end up in the middle of the enemy team?
All the time. Happens all the time.
Sometimes it just happens. You know?
Now, if I do that, I get flamed by my friends.
Yeah, but we can't flame Kalist because the entire nation of France will go to war against you.
This is true.
And I think that that's just not worth it. We need to keep global stability here. So, sometimes you just end
up. For the sake of global stability, Kaisa ended up in the middle of the team.
Exactly. But KC still maintained their spot at the top regardless. Their strength of schedule is looking, I think, doable. They have Rogue and Vitality. Should be easy wins. They still have to face G2, though. That's going to be the big test for them, which I think closes out the split with the road shows. We're going to have, by the way, road shows this coming weekend, which I think is really cool. I forget which stadium we're going into. I'll look that up while we're talking about some of the other teams here.
Real quick, just another point about Carmine Corps.
They've
dropped five individual games. They have a 69% win rate with when you go to individual games, which is just above G2 after G2 lost this weekend. But 11-5 after being 5-1 of those series. I mean, they've dropped a game to Koi, Movistar Koi. They dropped, obviously, a game to Fnatic. Nothing to be ashamed about that. But then you drop one to Team Heretics, like, I don't know. It's a little saucy.
It is looking a little rough for consistency, but the fact that they are still getting across the finish line, very helpful for their standings, because all they need to do is get, you know, top two finish to have a really good spot in going into playoffs. And I think, again, looking at the strength of the schedule, even if they drop to G2 and lose that first seed, they're still in a pretty good spot. So, unless there's an upset with Vitality or, again, I think it was a BDS. Let me check again one more time.
Hang on, Leakpedia might be wrong.
Rogue and Vitality. Leakpedia
might be wrong. I'm doing math here. They played six series, and they've 2-0'd three of them, right?
I don't know offhand. I'm not quite remembering. I know that they have dropped
two of them, and they've 2-1'd the rest of them. Now, if you 2-1 four series, oh wait, no, they lost it. They lost the game. I'm stupid.
Yeah, they lost the series, so that would be two losses.
They lost the series to Fnatic. I'm sorry. Don't ever have casters do math.
Especially play-by-plays. One caster I trust to do math, Azale. That guy's fast at it. But
I'm staring at Fnatic in KC, and I'm like, yeah, they dropped the game to Fnatic. I'm like, yeah, they dropped the second game to Fnatic, too.
Well, let's talk about it then. How'd Fnatic's weekend look? Because that one's pretty quick. that one was swift. Yeah. So give me the lowdown on their swift 2-0.
Yeah, so if I get sum up game one, it's that it's really hard to win when the enemy team's Kalista gets two kills like within the first couple minutes. The good news is Rogue, like, you know, was not totally out by second grubs, and then they lost the second grub fight, and then they were totally out.
Yep. It was kind of bizarre.
It was. I haven't really seen a match that was actually that bad in a long time. Like, that was, like really one-sided.
Damn.
Yeah, Fnatic has done that, though. I think, weirdly enough, out of the teams in Europe, I feel that they have had the most consistent smashes against the teams below them in the standings. Maybe they're just the pub stompers. They're noob destroyers of the LEC.
Yeah, they haven't really been tested. You know, they beat Gynax, they beat SK. Obviously, they beat Carmine Corps.
SK was the weird one at the start of the split. That was like, maybe that was an anomaly, just because SK had that weird like spiritual power up that they got from their roster switch change.
Then they beat Vitality and then Rogue. So it's like they've played the four teams that are currently at the bottom of the standings, and then the one team at the top of the standings.
I think Fnatic are looking like the real deal at this point. I still hear people saying they're frauds, but the fact that they are consistently beating the teams below them, that's what you need to do, and it does still feel like a top three team region right now. Fnatic could be that team that if G2 can take out KC and Fnatic keeps performing, those two will overtake KC, and then KC's in trouble. So KC's kind of hoping that G2 or Fnatic drop games to other teams here to make sure that they can still get that, you know, top two spot going into playoffs. But yeah, we'll see what happens. Although I suppose the more important thing is that you avoid the fifth sixth seed, because then you're in the lower bracket. But
yeah, it'll be tough.
Yeah, yeah. I guess second and third is basically the same overall. So now that I think about it, unless like BDS surges or something, then if you're not first seed, you're basically the same, but whatever.
If you're not first, you're last.
If you're not first, you're last.
Exactly. Get a Poma in there.
Well, that brings us to G2, which, oh my goodness, what the hell happened, G2? This was two winnable games that somehow turned into losses for him. I gotta say, I love Skewmon's Dr. Mundo Jungle. That was very cool. Fun to watch. Broken Blade on the Yasuo as well. Fun for like the first, you know, 10 minutes. And then after that, you know, the team fights got a little wonky. And then again, like that second game too, I hate to really point the finger, but everyone's doing their job except for specifically Labrov, and occasionally Skewmon just has these intastic games. And when your support is going for like the insane engages that he's going for, you're going to get punished. And Nuke and Ice are absolutely carries that are good enough that they can, if you give them a lead, run away with games. So
that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, that's legitimately what happened. Caps got out mid-laned twice, even though he was kind of able to bring it back in that second game and, you know, do more damage on the Hui. And Hansama, I think, was trying his best in that game one, but you're playing Kai'Sa into Zig, so, like, it's going to be tough really to pull anything off when you don't really have, like, a big setup, and LeBron's just, again, inting his face off, so.
And their macro, too. Their macro, too, was not great. They had that really weird split call at the 40-minute mark where, like, they pushed down the bottom inhibitor, and then they had the fight near the dragon with, like, three members near the dragon and two members at the inhibitor, and they lost both fights. And that's just how they lost the game. They lost the 2v2 and they lost the 3v3. And it's like, that was kind of embarrassing. And then they traded, they took Baron and traded away the Elder. And the Elder, I mean, like, I don't know. I feel like when you're getting pushed in, it's kind of hard because, like, you don't want to give them the Baron because now you're dealing with Baron up super minions in your base. But at the same time, like, Elder is just so oppressively powerful. They legitimately put Elder in the game to prevent games from going long. Like, I think that is almost always the stronger objective, personally.
Yeah. It did feel like G2 were rattled. I honestly don't think they expected this much competition from BDS, because, like, it didn't seem like they were respecting them in game one.
Yeah.
And then by the time game two happened, they were like, okay, now we gotta, like, figure out how to close out, and just were not able to do that. So
close the door on their toe.
This was a random loss. Sorry, what?
They closed the door on their toe.
Yeah, stubbed it real good. Random loss for G2, a tough loss for G2, both pretty long games, all things considered. So they at least know how to kind of survive, but we're not able to get that perfect split. They were the last team undefeated, and if anybody had taken bets, I don't think it would have been BDS that you would have beating them. But now BDS are looking like maybe we got to put more respect on their name. You never know. Speaking of, we do have BDS up next. So, Yanni, talk to me about BDS's weekend.
Yeah, they 2-0 G2. There's not much more you can say about that. That's great. That puts them at 3-3.
Wow, that really was their only match, wasn't it?
Yeah, incredible. Yeah, with you know, and now taking a look, you know, they've gotten through a difficult part of their schedule. They've ticked the box of playing against KC. Obviously, they lost. They've now ticked the box playing against G2.
Wow.
So you have
Giant X, Vitality up.
They have Vitality, G2. I'm sorry. They have Vitality, Fnatic, Giant X.
And Giant X.
So,
yeah,
so you could reasonably go 2-1 overall here and kind of propel yourself into that fourth spot because you're fending off Team Heretics, who's also at 3-3 and also 7-7. And I don't necessarily think Vitality or Giant X will be able to knock him off. I know Mazel has said Team Vitality of the Moon.
Yep, yeah, 2-0 from here on out, baby.
Why are you such a big fan?
You know, might be because they maybe put down our boy JoJo this weekend, you know? That's fine.
Yeah, they put him out
that's
the pasture.
Why you're a fan. Your fandom of JoJo has now spilled over to my dad.
Exactly. Well, whoever kills JoJo gets my fandom.
When you lose a pet, you have to go get another pet.
True.
Yeah, exactly.
Unfortunately, they, you know, I'm sorry, Mazel, JoJo had to go to the big dog pound. You had to go to the farm.
Big dog in the sky.
He had to go to the farm.
Yeah, let's talk about Team Heretics quick, and then we can talk about how JoJo got laid to pasture, because that was pretty tough there. But Team Heretics, their weekend looked like one singular series against Vitality, it was a win. A win's a win, baby. 2-0. I actually thought that they would have a little more difficulty with this. I had it being a 2-1 series, but
they did have difficulty, bro.
They did not have difficulty. They had like one slight stumble in around the mid game versus Vitality in game one, but then were able to bring it right on back. And then by the time game two rolled around, yes, they again kind of gave over a bit of their lead, but then despite Carlson still being kind of the weak link, I still think Flacked and Shao, like Shao especially, dude, this guy is really stepping up this split. And finding a lot of like really clutch engages. But can we also talk about what the hell was that Anivia top lane from Nek Neko in game two? You're playing in a rumble, which I suppose you're just like, I'm just not gonna interact with the rumble. I don't know if I was convinced by it. It was a little odd.
Bro thinks he's Mirwin, bro thinks he's Whippo.
Oh, we'll talk about Merwin later. Don't you worry.
Flandra. Bro thinks he's the Shy. I don't know, man.
Yeah, that was a wild one. I don't think that was the reason they lost necessarily, but it did just feel like their damage was a little inconsistent. Like they were all pretty much like topside. Anivia is not known for burst damage in my mind. It's especially not with this build. It's like the slow burn, take people out in the team fights. But you're also trying to follow up on like a Yone and, you know, like a Skarner who's
kind of hard,
usually going to go a little deep before he's able to drag people back towards you. So it's hard to fully follow up on what some of the other parts of their composition were trying to do. And yeah, again, Flacka just had some really clutch misfortune setups. So yeah, shout out to Team Heretics for having a pretty, solid performance overall. Outside of some shaky mid games, I still think that they are looking like a solid middle of the pack team. All right, Mizell, it's time. Talk to me about your boy JoJo and movie star Koi.
The man went 0-4 on Taliyah to start off the series. I don't think it was all on JoJo though. I mean, obviously, I went through and like looked at some of the highlights and stuff, and especially the way that the map just kind of broke down across the solo lanes. Felt really bad, and that happened kind of in both games. I think, if anything, like not having any advantages bot lane can definitely affect that, but I think JoJo played really rough this time around, especially on the Taliyah.
The Taliyah was tough. He had one cool play on the Ahri when he outplayed Nek. Yeah, I was going to say,
the
Ahri looked better.
The Ahri definitely looked better. But I think, again, I just don't see the connection between him and Elioya working out as often as I feel like it should. And I think they're both very good players, but I think they just need to get on the same page.
Yeah, I got to agree. I also think that Linkus had just an insane performance in this series specifically. Pantheon into the Nefiri and just crushed both of those. Anywhere he went, all of Movie Star Koi was just falling apart. So JoJo was struggling in the mid lane, but Merwin also had a really tough series. I would actually say it was more on Merwin across both games than it was just JoJo. But when both your solo laners are struggling, I think I agree. Part of that's Elioya not really being able to like stabilize them. But Merwin, when he isn't on his fun, silly picks and he does play more standard, he played the Gnar in game two, and it was Gwen game one. He did not look great. And maybe we just disrespected Nek Neko. Like, maybe this guy actually is good. I was not convinced by him earlier in the split, but the more I see of his games, I'm like, you know what? I could get behind this guy.
His Jax game was solid.
Yeah, yeah. So there we go. We've talked about Team Vitality. We've talked about Koi now. SK. This is one of the last teams that we haven't really mentioned here. Yanni, what do you think about SK and their one series against Rogue?
Well, the good news is they managed to weather the storm of Rogue's cosplay of Fnatic, where your Kalista gets a couple of kills early, a bunch of kills, really, and Rogue could not win the game off that early power. SK drafted a really nice double AD carry composition in that first game that was... Mm-hmm. You know, really solid. That Rumble 2 against like this team fighting composition, that Rogue put together. It took a while, but you know, they drafted pretty well there. And then in game two, you know, they're getting picks back and forth, like competitive game. And then SK goes and takes Otacon, and they lose mid-tier one, mid-tier two, top-tier two.
That was an insane trade. And then they just waste the Otacon diving top-tier.
Yes.
Like, what exactly. The fuck was that, dude?
Then Rogue just clean it up, get a pick, win the fight, win the game. Adam had a really good Ambessa game. I thought he was quite impressive in that one. And then in game three, I mean, you could tell this was a team that was just defeated, man. It was not close. I think the kill score was like 6-0 at one point really early on in the game. Mm-hmm. And Adams got two kills on Aatrox. Larson's got two kills on Tristana. And Patrick's got two kills on Kai'Sa. Like, it's another double AD carry comp that you have. It's just legitimately impossible for them to play.
Adam went 12-0-6.
Yeah, that dude, he slapped something that I ain't willing to say on the podcast.
Yeah, JNX had, he pulled out the Urgot in game two, and even the casters invoked the name of Bwipo, like, hey, he's taking notes. He did all right early, and then just kept getting popped later in the game, because Urgot's not a true tank, not a true front line, and JNX is playing it like it. Then he plays Jax, and for some reason still thinks he's kind of a front line.
Meanwhile, when I play against an Urgot and he hits, like, level 14, he becomes unkillable.
Yeah, right? But, crazy. I guess JNX giving hope to the balance team right there. We don't need to tweak him at all. He's fine.
No, please, make him weaker. I hate this champ.
Rogue's just a weird team, man. It is impossible to predict if they're going to win or lose a game. They are just all over the goddamn place. And they actually have only two games left to play. This is how tough it is for them to actually try and make it into playoffs. They have both KC and Koi ahead of them.
Shouldn't be too tough to predict in week six, my friend.
But this win is saying they're still around. You know, we still got to keep talking about them. There's a chance they could actually make it in. You never know. You never know. All right. But with that said, that's pretty much all the teams. We've talked about Rogue and their games. Giant X is the last team to talk about here, but we already kind of said it from the KC side. Yes, GX got the one. They were not able to get more than that and are still looking like the bottom of the barrel in LEC.
They didn't look that bad, though. Like,
what was that?
They actually really didn't look that bad in the series against KC.
Okay, well, what are the bright lights for GX then?
I mean, they're doing a good job of, like, getting early picks, team fighting, like, these early objectives. But then, like, as the game progresses is where they really tend to struggle. You know, I take a look at this game one where, like, Jun is just, like, a pop blossoming, like, one person, like, completely disconnected from his team. And, you know, in fairness to them, the composition is pretty hard to play against. Like, Talia Wall can really split a team, especially if you're not as coordinated as, like, a top team. So, like, you know, if they were a little bit better coordinated, they probably would have had a little bit better of a time. Maybe could have even won that first game. And then the second game was just kind of like Game of Throws. So, like, anybody could have won. But, like, the fact that you're, like, in Game of Throws with Carmine Core means that, like, yes, while they are making mistakes, you are eventually capitalizing on those mistakes, right?
True.
I mean, you know, they had a really good composition with Jax and Azir and, like, played for the late game and scaled well. They kind of, like, understood the assignment there. And Kebno and Noah was well protected because of his Zaya game.
Considering it was the last place team versus the first place team,
yeah, it was a lot closer.
Competitive, yeah.
Yeah.
But their strength of schedule is still tough. They got G2, they got Koi, they got BDS, they got Team Heretics, all teams that are in
three,
kind of that
baby
top half conversation right now.
1-3.
Yeah, they've already played Rogue, Vitality, SK, so it's looking tough. It's looking tough. But we'll see. They're still technically not out yet.
You know, and this is a warning to all the other LEC teams. You know, we expect them to go 3, you know, the teams playing against them to go 3-1 in that stretch. But, like, you could absolutely lose a series to Giant X. Like, it is possible.
I think Giant X, more so than being in the playoff conversation, is going to be that upset conversation. GX could be the reason that, like, a team like Heretics or BDS bombs out and like, mm-hmm. SK overtakes them or something like that. So, yeah, that could be big. series to watch, though, I got SK versus Rogue game one. I think game one was very entertaining. The rest of the series, less so. Yeah. And then G2 versus BDS, just because, like, how the hell did G2 manage to lose those games? That's a question that we're going to be studying for a while. What you got, Yanni?
I actually have, I got KC versus Giant X. I actually think it was pretty good.
Okay.
Pretty entertaining series all throughout. That last game was, you know, a little bit of a tough one for them to play because they had to play against Victor and Kog'Maw. So you're probably going to lose the game three at that point if you're not immediately doing crazy stuff. But then I'll agree with you in going BDS G2 just for the shock factor.
Yeah, it's always fun for that. So let's get our attention to next weekend's games. We have week four. Reminder, it is a road trip for LEC. That means that on Saturday and Sunday, we're not going to be at the LEC studio in Berlin. We're actually going to be hosted by movie star Koi at the Madrid Arena. Only for those 2 days, and then I believe the other games are playing back at Berlin, and only some of the teams are traveling to the Madrid Arena, so you'll see kind of like a mini round robin almost here on Saturday, Sunday. It kicks off with G2 versus GX. We all have G2 taking it. Mazelle actually has GX getting a game, but me and Yanni still think the G2 can clean it up. And then after that, we have MCOY versus Fnatic, and we all agree Fnatic should take that one. I have MCOY getting at least a game, but Fnatic are looking like a team that is consistently taking out the game or the teams below them. Other than SK, they're the anomaly. Then on Sunday, we got G2 versus Fnatic, El Clasico. Me and Yanni both think G2, Mazelle. I like it. Keep things spicy here. You got Fnatic. Any big reason for why you have that, or do you just like to root for the boys in orange over the boys in black?
I don't know. I mean, I think G2 losing over this weekend like blocked a little bit of my confidence. I think it's going to be a question as if they can bounce back, or like how they bounce back, I guess.
Mm-hmm. All right, fair enough. Next up on Sunday to close out the Madrid Arena segment, that's going to be MCOY versus GX. So, again, it's only G2, GX, MCOY, and Fnatic that are going to be playing on Saturday and Sunday. I think it's kind of cool. They planned the schedule around that, if you're wondering. Why have G2 only played 4 series and Carmine Corps have played 6 already? This is why. G2 are getting saved for both road trips. They're going to be at both of those, doubling up on each weekend. So they just kind of like back half weighted Smart. The G2 games and series. Yeah, I mean, obviously you're going to want G2 at the arenas because that's going to bring in fans and get engagement more. So MCOY versus GX, we all have MCOY taking that one. Still not enough faith in GX, despite the fact that they were able to push KC. Then on Monday, we're back in Berlin studio with Team Heretics versus SK. We have Team Heretics across the board there, and then Vitality versus BDS. Myself and Yanni have BDS, but Mazelle has now, the JoJo fandom has transferred to Niski support, another ex-NA mid laner, and Vitality for taking that series. So there we have it. That's our predictions for this coming week in LEC. Let us know if you agree. Let us know if you disagree. Let us know your thoughts. You can let us know in the community Discord. Again, link in the description wherever you are listening along. But with that being said, that's it for this week's episode of League Rundown. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. And Mazelle, if everyone at home listening along, if they enjoyed the podcast, what's the number of stars that they could leave us to signify their enjoyment listening today?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Five of them.
Oh, five. Okay, we stopped at five. Okay. 5 stars. 5-star review, everybody. If you could, it helps us get noticed, helps us grow our audience as best as we can. Yanni, thanks for being on again.
Yo, wait a minute.
We might miss you next week.
We
got
to talk NA.
Hopefully we got you back for more. Sorry, what was that?
We got to talk NA predictions.
We did do NA predictions, did we not?
No.
Did we just skip? No, we did.
I do.
Did we do them earlier?
I'm pretty sure we did. Okay, we got FlyQuest Hunter Thieves.
Did we?
FlyQuest,
hold on.
TL,
I might be going,
TL,
no,
C9 Disguise, C9 Dig.
Yeah, yeah, no, no, no. We totally did. I'm crazy. I'm sorry. That was a long time ago.
It's okay. Nobody listens to the end of the episodes anyway, okay, because nobody comments on the weird sound that we hear.
Oh, you know why? You know why I forgot? That was the part of the episode where my chair broke.
Nice, nice.
You know what? You didn't have to admit that, but I appreciate the boldness of admitting.
This chair has been messed up for like since I got it. My new RE chair coming in literally tomorrow.
Oh, nice. That's awesome. Hopefully that works out for you. But a reminder, Yanni, this is an audio medium. So anything that happens visually, again, it goes over the audience's heads. But if you want to give the play-by-play, feel free.
I heard a little cracking noise, and I was like, oh. And then I went to go lean my chair. I went to go lean my chair, and my chair leaned a little too far. And I was like, uh-oh, it's not good. No. And then I muted myself, and then I looked, and I picked up my chair, and I was like, what happened to the wheel? The wheel shot across the room. This is like the third wheel on this chair that is broken. Like, it's just a bad chair. So here's what happened. Like, I'm a pretty big dude. Like, for reference, I am a pretty big dude, but this chair is rated to someone of my size. But the thing was, product placement incoming. I have a secret lab chair downstairs in my main setup, which works phenomenally. I love it. It's got the old LCS branding on it. Very nice chair. I got it recently. I started with this chair that I am sitting in right now because I didn't want to spend the money on a secret lab chair. So I went to Amazon, got like a $200 chair. And then like within a week of me having it, I was like, I think I should have gotten like a secret lab chair or something like that. Because I've sat in them and I went to a friend's house and like I sat in his again. And I was like, yeah, I made a big mistake. So I told myself I wasn't going to make that mistake again.
Okay. Well, thank you for the play-by-play on that. What's the Ari's chair though? Is that a Fager-themed one?
No, it's just a regular RE themed one, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
All right. I wanted to get another LCS branded one, but they don't make them anymore.
Yeah, get an LCA reasons. North. I don't think we make those either.
They do not make those. And the first stand chair is not out yet.
Ah, okay. Maybe an MSI one. We'll get to something like that. But thank you for being on either way. Thank you everybody for listening along to our random hot takes. But if there's any message that you actually take away from this episode, it's that we love you. And we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
See you.
Oh, yes, Daddy. See, we even stick around to hear that at the end of the episode, so we're fine.
Oh, yes, Daddy.